Or not. Fortunately, I have my mother here at the moment, and she can feed the children and get bath times organized. And luckily, it's not school week where homework needs to be done. So if it moves a couple of hours later, that's great for me, but that depends on everybody
else.
Okay,
well, let's see what we'll talk about early on the agenda. And I was willing to do it 5 o'clock in the morning my time, but there are others. There's quite a few in the Pacific time zone that are actively involved in, and there was some... some that couldn't do it then, and that would have made it earlier in the day for those of you in Europe, and so I apologize that messing up the evenings for those of you in Europe, and there are several in that category too. All right, getting over here to my agenda, and I assume that the recording is on?
Yes, sir, it is ready.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so... as usual, the meeting is being recorded and transcribed. Remember to identify yourself when you speak so that the transcribers know who to attribute comments to. And if you're using a speakerphone, when you speak, please use the handset. Any other than the comment that the agenda is very long, are there any other suggestions on the agenda? Okay, then let's go ahead and proceed. And if we think of other things as we go, that doesn't mean we can't add them. If anybody does have any updates to your interest statements regarding this working group, please send them to the list. That's kind of a standing procedure. Now let's talk about the meeting dates and times. Now, unfortunately, we have a minority of us on this call, and the fact that others haven't joined may be indication of a problem, but how do these dates and times work? Now, Victoria's already indicated that later, a little later, would be preferable. I can do, we probably can't move it more than an hour later. But
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't. Who was that?
It was Liz.
Oh, Liz. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Chuck. And I'm the least of your consideration, so it depends on what else suits the other group because I can make it up as we need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Alistair obviously would like it an hour later, and I'm not opposed to that. Is that bad for anybody on this call if we moved it an hour later? Is this time a better time or an hour later?
This is certainly a better time for me. This is Victoria. Just because we end up late into the evening if we're taking 2 hours out.
Yeah, okay.
It's 6 o'clock now.
Chuck, this is Patrick. It's fine by me.
Either way?
Yeah.
I actually, it's Marilyn, I prefer it later, including when I am in Europe, which is the next 2 weeks, just because it doesn't interfere with work days, but I will do my best to be flexible, Chuck.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in the same position as Marilyn on that one.
Okay.
Fine now, but later is fine too, even when I'm in Europe in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, maybe what we ought to do is survey the group that's not on the call and see if there's strong leaning one way or the other 1 hour later or the time that we have right now. Again, I can do either one. And let's get a broader response. Hopefully people will respond and we can tell. And Alistair already has committed that he would prefer the hour later. So, Victoria, I think you're the one that said that an hour later really isn't desirable on your part. So make sure you communicate that when we send a message out to the list. Liz, could you, while we're on the call, because it's hard for me to lead and send emails, but could you send an email out to the list asking that question?
Yep. Come now.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And while I'm talking about that, it was decided in Lisbon in talking with Denise Michelle and with Liz and others that Liz would be able to support this working group and during our 30-day extension. So we won't be using Tim Denton's services. One of the things that we'll do that will facilitate integrating the reserve name working group things into the new GTLD process, which will come to an end very shortly after our 30 days ends. I do want to update everybody that the council has not yet approved our working group extension. I want to be right up front about that. I had hoped that maybe it could be done via email. Frankly, in Lisbon, the council just ran out of time. We had the who is discussion not only took up most of the regularly scheduled meeting time in Lisbon, but ran over into other time slots as well. And then on Thursday afternoon when we reconvened on new TLDs and so forth, again, we ran out of time. So no action was taken regarding the extension of this working group. I sent to the council list the end of last week a revised statement of work that you essentially have in front of you with probably one modification suggested by a council member. And hoping that maybe we'd get enough responses on the list to get council approval, but that didn't happen. So it'll be on the agenda tomorrow for the council to decide. So whatever we do today is contingent upon that. If they don't extend us, we all picked up a couple hours plus a lot of other hours. I guess a week. I expect, though, that it will be extended. Now, next item, and this is a very important one. I'd like to go over the draft statement of work, and hopefully you have it there so you can see it as well. And I'll try and clarify some things. Liz and others who were in many of the meetings we had regarding new TLDs and reserve names and so forth in Lisbon, feel free to add comments as we go through this, and everyone should feel free to ask questions. The statement of work we don't need to view it as overly restrictive in terms of just because it didn't include something here doesn't mean we can't do it. At the same time, we're going to have to manage our time very carefully to be able to get done in 30 days. You can see that I listed under general tasks some things that came out of the meetings in Lisbon, like defining reserve names, reorganizing the report so that the recommendations are grouped. First of all, reserve name recommendations ready for input into the new GTLD report, recommendations for possible use in the new GTLD evaluation process. There's at least two categories that really fit that. That's the geographic and the controversial. It was decided in Lisbon that there won't be reserve names for those categories, but the work we have done and are going to do in this 30-day segment could be very useful in the challenge processes that are being built into the new TLD selection process. And then the third category would be categories of names deemed to be out of scope for the reserve name working group. And those would be the three character names at the third level.
Now, Chuck, this is Greg Shatton.
Yes.
Somehow that got perverted. It was never three character names at the third level as the subject matter, unless we're kind of parsing out three character names from all other names at the third level.
With regard to .name and .pro, there were some three character names that were reserved at the third level.
Right, but there were also those with other numbers of characters.
Yes.
And in the final report that went to Lisbon, for some reason that got headed three character names at the third level, even though it was about.
Well, that was a mistake then. Regardless, it's in the same category of out of scope for the reserve name working group based on the direction we received in Lisbon.
And are other names, reserve names at the third level in scope or out of scope?
It depends which ones we're talking about. Some of those were ICANN and IANA names.
Right.
Those aren't out of scope.
And there were some that were specifically.
But the ones, basically the principle, Greg, as I understood it, and others can correct me if I communicate this incorrectly, is that any reserve names that were unique to particular registry models were not in the reserve names category.
Okay.
What the council and then the new TLD committee was really looking for is reserve names that would pretty much apply across the board for the new TLD process, and then as applicable in the contractual conditions that would apply to all TLDs, not particular categories that may be proposed by a specific registry. And so that principle would apply to each one of these registry-specific names at the second level, you know, the long list of names for affiliates for .info and so forth, and then other names, other reserve names at the second level. So it's not, we do need to include the work that was done in our report, but the work will be included in such a way that it doesn't feed into the new TLD report. And any subsequent work that would ever be done on that would be done by a different group than this group. Does that make sense?
I think so. What was the thinking behind eliminating certain of these?
Well, first, I already gave you part of that thinking, and that was that that the reserve names are being thought of as reserve names that are reserved for essentially all TLDs, not one or two, not specific to any particular thing. Another reason that was brought up by more than one person was that these categories tend to be business model specific in some cases, and so that didn't seem to be a policy issue so much as a business model issue. Anybody want to add other reasons that you heard there?
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Maybe I could just, I kind of took out of the discussion that we were trying to make sure that reserve names is a category of, that has a prohibition, meaning do not allocate, while business models, et cetera, have a assumption of they will be allocated, but at a time and space to be developed in by the registry, right?
Excuse me, I had turn the phone on mute for a second while the other line was ringing. I think that's accurate.
So maybe Greg, maybe that addresses a little bit of the clarification.
I think so.
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to add something that you recall from Lisbon? Did we capture that accurately, Liz, in your recollection? Did we lose Liz?
Yes, Chuck.
Yeah, we did. Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I need to be on mute while I'm sending this other message.
Sure.
To my computer.
Okay.
Keyboard
sorry
play.
About that. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Point. Okay. Now, and so the report after the 30-day period would group the categories in those three categories that you see there, and one of the general tasks that all of us will have, and you'll see this as an action item if you haven't already done it at the end of this call today, is to review the GAC principles for new TLDs. New GTLDs, and then review the IDN working group report if you haven't already done that, and I distributed those to the list, so hopefully everybody has that. We need to add the GAC principles for new TLDs to our report and reference them where applicable, which probably be more than one place. I'm sure it will be more than one place. We need to request that the FSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, identify any possible security or stability issues with regard to any of our recommendations, as well as suggestions as to how any such issues might be mitigated. And then number seven, create an annex as feasible. This is a suggestion that came from Philip Shepard on the council that would just simply list all of the reserve names in alphabetical order for easy reference. Now, that works for some categories. It doesn't work so well, like, for example, for tag names, but it's probably a helpful suggestion to have an annex that just kind of somebody could just look up in alphabetical order really quickly. Now, again, it doesn't work very well for IDNs, but I think there is some value in having a list like that. That's kind of a logistical matter that can be fairly easily handled on the ASCII side anyway. We need to create an we need to use format specifications that Liz will provide. So in the subgroups that we form in this group, Liz is going to give us some format specifications, and it will be essential that every group follow those and individuals follow those. One of the problems that Tim and I ran into trying to pull everything together in the final report is that there were a lot of different formats and styles and everything else used, and it made it quite difficult and time-consuming at the end to pull our report together. So this is just a logistical matter that will be very helpful. Yes.
Chuck, would you mind if, I'm sorry, I just interrupted you then. Just so that everybody knows, in case you don't have the GAP TLD principles to hand, I've just sent them to the list again in case they're not easily gettable. And you need to refer to Annex B. So if we're going to discuss that later in the meeting, then that's where it is in the paper copy of the GAP principles. Also, for the document templates, I just want to reiterate what Chuck said about the time it took to put the Reserve Names Working Group report into a format that enabled me to search information and enable it to be published easily. I will be sending to the group after I've sent it to Chuck later on tomorrow morning a system of templates for any of the smaller working groups that come together to enable me to easily integrate the materials that we get in a consistent form. And I'll send those around to the group, and I'm more than happy to help whoever is in the smaller working groups to actually put that information together in a consistent way.
Thanks, Liz. Any other comments or questions on general tasks? Okay.
Chuck, this is Edmund. I just joined the call.
Thanks, Edmund. Appreciate you letting us know. Then we go to tasks regarding recommendations, and these are organized in pretty much the same order that they were in our work previously. First of all, IANA reserve names. One of the general directions we got from Bruce in the council work and committee work in Lisbon was that we really need to take an approach where the recommendations are ready to go into the new TLD report, this would apply to everything we do. To the extent that there's going to be some reserve names requirements, then they need to be stated in such a way that they are ready to go, because Liz is just going to have a few days after we're done to incorporate the work from our group into the new TLD report, because in early June we need to be ready to give a board report from the council. So the council has to approve it and send it on to the board before the Puerto Rico meeting, and hopefully with some lead time there.
I just add one further wrinkle to that? I'm sorry to do that. The other further wrinkle, of course, is that many of the things with respect to reserve names fall into the basket of contractual conditions, and the contractual conditions need to be reflected in the base contract. So if we're drafting a base contract, which we are indeed feverishly working on, then anything that this group comes up with respect to continuing reserve names that are part of a baseline contract for new registry operators will need to be included in that base contract. So it's really critical that we get the timing right.
Yep. Thanks. And that's a good point. Our recommendations really cover two kind of broad areas. One of them is obviously what names would be reserved and not be usable by people applying for new TLDs. The second thing is what reserve names requirements would be included in new registry contracts, and so both categories are very important, and both have to be done for the report that needs to be done by the end of May on the new TLD. So obviously our report needs to be done sooner than that. So ICANN and IANA reserve names, it's not an area where we reach consensus. We agreed that there needed to be more work. It's my personal opinion that I don't think we can get the additional work done in the 30-day period, especially considering all the other work that we have. So, and the suggestion that was really given in Lisbon was is that we maintain the status quo for now regarding ASCII names, and we confirm that the names are reserved at the third level for name and pro, that we reword the recommendation, for example, at all levels for ASCII and IDN names, including providing examples. We incorporate any relevant comments from the IDN working group report, and then we provide a brief rationale in support of the recommendations referring to the role of the category as applicable. Now, and then secondly, we need to finalize some guidelines for what that additional work needs, you know, should be. So to the extent that we can provide some information that the council can then use to form a little group or something to work, do further work on this, we should also provide that. Any questions on that particular category?
Is that at the top level or at the second level, Chuck, or both?
I
just joined a couple of minutes ago, so I apologize.
I'm assuming that it's both, Mike. Thanks for letting us know you joined.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. And maybe we can just get an update to see, because I think there may have been a few other people who've joined as well.
I'll look at my list while you're talking, Marilyn. So.
Yeah.
You have to hit the refresh button.
Oh, that's right. Thanks.
You've got Edmund and Michael Palades that have joined. Edmund Chun and Michael Palades.
Yeah, and I saw that without hitting refresh, they were on there, so I was okay that time. Okay. All right, Marilyn, is that all you wanted, or did you have something else?
No, I just had a question in terms of the guidelines for additional work, but why don't I hold my question, because I think that's the recommendation in a couple of places.
It is.
Yeah, and maybe we can come back to...
Well, it's okay to give it now, because then we'll have to eventually cover it anyway.
Sure. Well, it seems to me that guidelines for additional work might include such things as on a periodic basis reassess whether change is needed. But I'm assuming the guidelines for additional work will, in fact, vary by category. So additional work for item 1, ICANN, IANA names, may be very different from 3, for instance.
Yeah, right. No, and I think that's good, and what we should do. So, again, when we're talking about guidelines, I think it's fairly flexible as to what we can recommend. Obviously, the more helpful we can be, it'll make it easier to eventually form a statement of work and so forth for that work to get accomplished.
So my other comment, which is more for Liz and you to just take note of, and that is, and I'm sure this will happen when Liz sends us the format, but our format, for instance, in 1 is not similar to the format in 3, and if we were writing under those headings, we would have different numbering. So I'm just pointing that out as a B is guidelines for additional work, and we have different categories. We've put a lot of work as a sub item under A here in ICANN IANA work.
Mm-hmm.
So I just point that out for Liz
yep.
to come back to when she addresses the format. So we're also getting the you know, if we're, for instance, going to try to align work on finalized guidelines for additional work across the 3 or 4 groups that have such a recommendation.
Yeah, and I think that the format guidelines have to be flexible enough to accommodate the variations in the different categories, and I'm sure that that's what Liz is intending, but very good point.
Thanks, Marilyn. Yep, no problem.
Then going on to use of symbols in reserved names, it seemed like that recommendation was pretty well established. There was consensus in the group on it and so forth. It's just a matter of restating it, and as you'll see when we look at our proposed work schedule, this one could be taken care of, including providing a rationale in support of the recommendations by Liz and I in terms of this. And, of course, any time that we're doing that, the whole group will get a chance to look at it. But we don't need to form a working group for this. I won't jump ahead to the work schedule yet. I'll come back to that. But in number three, then, single and two-character reserve names. We obviously broke that down into several categories. And by the way, Marilyn shared this with me before the meeting. Symbols and reserve names was obviously part of the single and two-character reserve names category. I pulled that out mainly because it's kind of a separate one that we can handle separately, but it's certainly appropriate to make note in our report that that was a part of this single and two-character reserve names category.
And numbers only.
What's that?
This is letters and numbers only.
Yes, this is letters and numbers only, single and two characters, so we need to be clear about that, and that's the thing we need to make clear in our report. There's quite a lot of work that needs to be done in this area. In some cases, there's at least one case where a fairly firm recommendation was made, and really didn't change the status quo much either, if any. The things that need to be done, we need to consult further with IDN experts regarding single and two-character IDN names, including the definition of the term character as it relates to non-Roman scripts. This particular area is one that's going to be fairly complicated, mainly because it may not be the same. It may be script-dependent. There are some scripts that, and Edmund can talk more to this, where if you reserve single and two-character IDN names, you're eliminating huge numbers of words and names and so forth. So it really wouldn't work. There are other scripts where maybe it still makes sense to do those. I don't know what the answer is, but we obviously need some more expertise in this regard. And this came up in the joint meeting between the GAC and the GNSO and the CCNSO in Lisbon, and I even got to the mic and welcomed input from experts that were on the panels there in that regard. And so that's definitely an area we need some a lot of expert help on.
May I ask a question, please?
Sure.
This is a general and a specific question. In quite a few of the spots, it says consult further with X, Y, or Z expert, or consult further with da 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 da. One of the things that Bruce and I have learned is the value of explicit and formal correspondence rather than just an email to say, hey guys, what about such and such? Is it the intention of the group to, for example, under 3A and 3B, to derive quite not formal meaning, you know, treaty-based, but formal correspondence between you as the chair and, for example, the SAC or the IDN group or the President's Committee on IDNs, to seek this kind of input within a certain time frame in a formalized way?
I think that would be very wise to do.
Okay, so then it seems to me that that's an action item for me to take, to draft that and give it back to you to send it, or are you happy to draft that yourself?
That would be great if you can do that. Chuck, it would really help me. Yes.
On the first one, I guess 3A, and you know this, I've already reached out to a linguistic expert on helping with the definition of a character that we could then provide to the GAC and the CCNSO to see if they have any comments or problems with that proposed definition.
Yeah.
So, I'm waiting on some feedback. The Easter holiday has sort of delayed getting a response, but I expect we'll get something pretty
now,
soon.
Now, Patrick, it seems to me that it still wouldn't hurt to do a formal
request
to that person as well. So would you provide that contact to Liz if you haven't already?
I can do that. I've already reached out to him formally. So what
you
I can do is
formally. So you don't think it's necessary then for something to come from me in that regard?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think he was out on vacation with the holiday, and I'm waiting on him to come back.
Okay, that's fine.
Chuck, sorry, Marin, go ahead. I'll go when you're finished.
We have this concept in study groups at the ITU that actually works very, very well, and that is a liaison statement with a specific request. So it has a background paragraph, the request, and a time frame, and both the chair and the counselor to for purposes of ongoing communication. It seems to me that that's a larger issue that council might take up of, you know, what do they think their formal communications are. But for purposes of this, I think what we're looking for is just enough information, like a description of the request, provision of any background materials, and then whether it's a written consultation or a phone consultation that's being sought. Is that right?
Or both. Or either or both, right?
Okay, because I will just note that on both B and C, not to leap ahead, but on both B and C, I think we're probably going to need to do both, written and be open to both written and conference calls.
Right. Agreed. Liz?
Sorry, Marilyn, for jumping across you then. Just to manage everyone's expectations, we had an internal call today with Donna Austin and Bart Boswinkle, and Bart is taking over the CCNSO support from Donna as she moves to the GAC liaison, so it's quite a nice little triangle. The CCNSO and the GAC are far behind us in terms of formal consideration of these kinds of things, so I really like Marilyn's suggestion about just enough information with a background paragraph request and a timeline that says that indicates what we're actually trying to do. One of the things that I'm anxious that we don't do is bind ourselves to the timelines of, for example, the GAC deciding on what kind of letters or numbers or whatever it likes for its IDN representation of its GAC members, or indeed for the CCNSO to decide what kind of reserve names it wants for representing existing CCPLDs. So just to a note of caution there, that I think that the formal correspondence is really necessary to telegraph the urgency that this process puts on other supporting organizations within the ICANN environment. And I think if we can be relatively formal, that's great. But also I think we need to be realistic about the time frames in which we can expect a proper response.
Well, and I think in that regard, Liz, what we need to do is make it clear that we're not asking for consensus statements.
Exactly.
We need to say, you know, if they have some committees, for example, the CCNSO had an IDN working group, it could be some feedback from them. It could be some experts in their community that can provide some guidance to us and help us in these areas. I think we need to be very clear about that, because if we are waiting for consensus positions, we will not get them. I mean, it's a fact. We don't even need to guess about that. Okay,
but Chuck, to that point, when we, for instance, have a category as we do in B or in 1B or in 3F or in 6 I. Well, no, sorry. Let me just stick with those two. The further work or the guidelines for additional work may specifically include more elaborated consultations.
Yes, absolutely.
And a goal for when they would be able to get a consensus.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know if we can give them goals, but that would be nice.
Can I add two things in here?
Sure. Go ahead, Audrey.
One is, I think it's important when we do communicate with them formally. Actually, I think it's two things. That we put in our date, that we tell them, you know, what kind of schedules we're on. Two, I think we need to be really careful about saying that we don't need consensus statements. When we've tried before to use something that came out of the GAC that wasn't a consensus statement, we basically got our wrists slapped and were told that we couldn't use it. So I'd be very careful of saying, you know, we're looking for other stuff too. Yeah, we're looking for it, but it doesn't. And I guess the third thing is purely administrative tracking thing, is that we do this reach out and we've done the one or another. We should really keep these things tracked with dates, you know, what's gone out, when it's gone out, because it's kind of like doing a very complicated liaison matrix. and it's really easy to lose track of who talked to who, when, and who's on point, so that you don't, you know, cross signals, so
right.
that you don't, whatever. So
yeah, very, very good points, Aubrey. Although I think if we don't make it clear that we're not looking for a GAC or a CCNSO consensus statement, then the chances of us getting nothing are 100%. And so we can be tactful about that, but we're looking for some expertise from their communities rather than supporting organization or advisory group consensus statements. If we don't say that, we're going to get nothing. Because
right. And I think in many cases, we're starting to see a new model in the GAC where some of them can participate. We had it in
mm-hmm.
you know, some of them can participate on their own, not as representing. And that is something that does seem to be effective because you've gotten the buy-in of at least
yeah.
someone that understands. So working with them, making sure that they've got people participating as themselves despite the fact that they are in GAC may be a stronger way to get their involvement.
Right. Good. Okay.
Can I just raise a general question?
Sure, Victoria.
I'm just wondering if you can enlighten me. I'm sorry, I may not have followed very well, but what is the status? I mean, this task list, because I'm just wondering, where is this task list come from?
The task list, the one that
the
we're going
through. The tasks regarding
right
recommendations.
Now?
Yeah, the one that we're going through now. I mean,
I created it based on feedback from that we received in Lisbon.
Feedback from?
From the GNSO Council, and in particular the Council Chair. We had a lot of meetings.
Do we have access to that feedback?
Sure. The Council meetings were recorded, and I assume transcribed. Is that correct, Glenn?
All the meetings have been transcribed, and they're on the GNSO calendar page.
And that includes our weekend discussion, right, Chair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my concern here is that, I mean, you know, I'd like to be quite precise about that because are we being bound? I mean, are we formally bound and limited by this list in some way? Is this list up for negotiation?
Well, first of all, we're not going to have much any time for negotiation, okay, just from a purely practical point of view. And to negotiate, we'd have to go back and get revised direction from the council. Again, that would put us past the point where we would...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm obviously just not really understanding. I mean, are there documents that you can... I mean, you know, I just want to know what the basis and the premises that we're, you know, what we're really working from here. So,
do you have specific questions that you can ask?
No, it's more in the sense that what if someone else, you know, I mean, obviously you've compiled this from that feedback, but, you know, the working groups may themselves want to have some input into the scope of the tasks or the approach to the tasks.
Well, in fact, that's why we're discussing it right now. So if you have specific things...
No, but what I'm saying is that it would be, you know, to do that effectively, you know, one would need to see would need to review the feedback.
I'm sorry, Chuck, can I get in the queue to speak on that? It's Marilyn.
Are you finished, Victoria?
Yes.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I want to be helpful to what Victoria is asking, but I must say that I was only there on Saturday and Sunday, and I reviewed the transcripts and you know, was heavily involved, of course, in drafting of our report and editing our report. This seems to me to be very consistent with what we put into this and the discussion that took place on the weekend. So I'm more interested in understanding what the specific is that you're concerned about, Victoria.
Yeah, no, it's the process it's more the process, I think, because, I mean, first of all, we don't yet have a mandate to continue this group. So we can't, you know, obviously, you know, working from that beginning, the nature of our work cannot have been set in stone. And I just think it's important to maintain flexibility. You know, I mean, I know that, Chuck, you've spent this time and produced this great result, but I think it's important that we have the chance to input in a meaningful way into the work that the subgroups are going to be doing and into the work of the working group from going forward.
And the best I can say is that now's your time to do that.
Well, I can't do that without reviewing the base materials. I can't have meaningful input.
Okay. By the way, I want to welcome Tamara to the call.
Yeah. Can I just ask a follow-up question, though? If you look at the transcript...
Which transcript? Sorry.
If you look at the transcript, and I don't know, were you in the public meeting?
No, she was not.
In itself, you know, what anyone takes out of an exchange of discussions is not necessarily what someone else would take out of it. So I want to understand the process, because if we are being limited to this list, then I think it's important that we have the ability to decide whether or not we're all happy to be limited to this list based on the same material that we're working from, just as a, you know, procedural matter.
Let me talk about procedure and process, okay?
Chuck, before you do that...
Just a minute, Marilyn. We were tasked with providing a report under the original statement of work and presenting that to the council. And the council has the option of... assigning the work group another 30 days to continue some work. They saw the report. We discussed the recommendations in quite a lot of detail in Lisbon with the council and also observers in the new TLD committee as well as the council, and received feedback there. And from that, I developed a statement of work. That statement of work was sent to the council late last week. Actually, earlier versions of it were sent earlier, but in its current form was sent late last week. And so it's up to the council to decide whether we captured the things that were said. And like I said, one person has already commented from the council that there was one thing that he thought we missed, and that was added in since then.
Okay, well, I don't think that's satisfactory, quite frankly. I mean, if the council hasn't come back, and we haven't been tasked going forward, and, you know, one person's anecdotal comments are not sufficient, and, you know, I think what you might have taken out of the feedback is not necessarily what anyone else would.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow whether it's satisfactory.
All I'm saying is, you know, I think it's appropriate that we have an before we bind ourselves to this, you know, to the tasks, and don't have any flexibility going forward. I'm just putting a marker down that I think I certainly would like to have an opportunity to have a meaningful input into the task list if we're going to be married to it going forward. I think it's important.
Just so you understand the timing, the council will be making a decision on it tomorrow.
Chuck, but maybe it's helpful just for everyone to have a reminder, and I only say this because I was on the council at the time, and I volunteered to do the original statement of work, and you joined me in drafting it. And, you know, it seems like a long time ago, I know, but it's not. The working group, the way working groups work is they have to have a statement of work that is approved by the council. And just to, you know, that's the nature of the creation of a working group.
I understand that, but we don't have one that's been approved by the council in terms of the work going forward until tomorrow. That's right?
That is correct.
Okay.
As I stated at the beginning.
So although we had an originally approved statement of work, that's no longer dealt with in terms of the report as it got to today, right?
Actually, Victoria, the original statement of work did include the option of the council extending the working group in specific to the general tasks that were identified in the original state of work, not to change it, but to just extend it and in a refined way based on the input we put into our final report.
Okay, all I'm saying is I think it's important that everybody in the working group has the ability to have a meaningful input into this task list if we're going to be then restricted by it going forward.
I thought, Chuck, you sent the draft to the working group as well as to the council.
It was sent to the working group, yes.
I got it yesterday, but I'm just saying I'd like to look, you know, it's important to see, you know, where it's come from and whether or not perhaps there are, you know, other people may have other thoughts, and the whole group should have the ability to have input into this, should we choose to.
Can I get in the queue after Patrick?
Somebody else want in the queue?
Page.
Okay, Mike. Let's go with Patrick and then Mike.
Okay. I think that the statement of work, the additional I guess, work plan that Chuck's put together reflects what either didn't get done or needs to be finished based on the report that we sent to the council and the feedback from Lisbon. So I guess, Victoria, I'd start there, and, you know, that's about all I have to add.
Thank you, Mike.
Victoria, I think what Chuck is trying to do is juggle things in a prudent fashion given the rather tight time frames that we're on. That being said, I do believe the comments that you're talking about are important, not within the context of this working group, but moreover in connection with new people coming into the ICANN process. You know, Chuck, me, you, and Marilyn have the benefit of working together now for 8 years under the ICANN structure. And I think what the council and future working groups need to take account of is new people that come into the process, they need to be able to understand when they need to review stuff, when they need to take action. And I think those are, I think, the high-level points that Victoria are raising, which I do think there are some value to that. That being the case, as I said at the beginning, I do think, Chuck, as chair, you've tried to, I think you've done an excellent job in chairing this, I think things are on target, but again, just for future sessions, I do think that the points Victoria raised are important, particularly for new ICANN participants, because if they come in and feel that they've not been heard or that they haven't made a valuable input, they're most likely going to walk away, and that's not what we need. We need more people coming into this process, which is one of the reasons we've tried to go with this working group structure.
Thanks, Mike, and I'm not questioning the value of your concerns, Victoria. And certainly hope that you can look at the transcripts and provide some input there. If we spend very much time talking about process at this stage of our work, then we won't be able to accomplish the objectives, whatever the council approves there.
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm the first to admit that I'm new to the process, but what I'm finding in a number of contexts, and which is why I raise this, is that, you know, it can become very difficult down the track. You know, there should be some flexibility retained, I think, you know, in terms of, you know, being bound to things and what have you, unless one has spent that time, because, you know, otherwise one can find that one's restricted further down the track. So I was just putting a marker down, you know, hoping for some flexibility, you know, should it turn out that we want to look at, perhaps the subgroup wants to look at something wider. And I think sometimes those markers are important, because before you know it, you know, one ends up restricted with, you know, and it could be important.
Well, one of the comments I tried to make at the beginning was that we don't need to look at this as overly restrictive. Now, we obviously, like we did in our first round, we need to be pragmatic, balance pragmatism with idealism, okay, but don't look at it as overly restrictive. At the same time, if we take on more than we can chew, we're not going to finish, so we just need to balance that.
But let me, I think we need to try to resolve this issue of subgroups not creating work for themselves. They may identify work that they wish they could do or think needs to be done in order to fully address the topic. But I'm a big believer in flexibility, and I think we all learn things as we progress, but one of the things we learned a long time ago is that neither a task forces and working groups are not even of the stature of a task force. Task forces have to work within their terms of reference. They can give other information back to the council to say, whoops, you know, our terms of reference aren't broad enough, or we disagree for these reasons. We now have become the experts. We've learned all these things. Maybe there's a way to just have that parking lot for subgroups, because we're not going to finish our work in 30 days. Victoria, I'm not exactly sure if I'm capturing one of your concerns, but it's feasible that things will come up that just can't be addressed in a subgroup, but your subgroup thinks needs to be taken up at a later time.
A lot of that can happen through the constituency structure. I think Mike's comments are good in that obviously the council and GNSO as a whole can do a better job of communicating process, especially for those that are new. At the same time, there's a responsibility, I believe, that falls onto the constituencies to make sure that they help their own representatives come up to speed on these things as well. So it's a twofold responsibility.
Okay, that's actually concerned me. That that sort of takes me right back to where I was. But here we go.
Okay, continuing on item three then, that B was to consult further with experts in the technical community regarding single letter ASCII names, single number ASCII names, and two character ASCII names involving at least one number. Those were things we didn't finalize recommendations on. C was to consult with the GAC as possible regarding single and two character IDN names. We've already talked about that. D was restate recommendations in the working group report so that they can be readily transferred. That's similar. And you notice in a lot of these it says provide examples. One of the things that Bruce suggested and others concurred with in Lisbon was to the extent that we can provide real examples, even with IDNs, it will be very helpful for people. So we want to do that. And then, of course, incorporating comments, again, from the IDN Working Group report. Again, this is a comment that you'll see it in several categories. We need to provide do a better job of providing rationale in support of the recommendations. Now, we kind of did that to an extent when we defined role, but it can probably be done more clearly. And then F was finalized guidelines for additional work for ASCII single character names at all levels, and as necessary, finalized guidelines for additional work for IDN single and two character names at all levels. Any more comments or questions on single and two character reserve names? It's a huge category and a big task. Tag names is one. I won't spend very much time on that unless people want me to. That's one that I don't think we need to form another subgroup on. We just need to refine the recommendations, provide some examples, and so forth. Several specific suggestions were made, and I just incorporated those right into the task here for that one. Nick, who is, and dub, pretty much the same issue, not quite as many suggestions for things that need to be done there. Again, we're not going to need a special group on that one. Geographical and geopolitical is a totally different category. As I stated earlier, we're not anticipating that there will be a geographical and geopolitical reserve names category. But the issue of geographical and geopolitical names will need to be handled in the new TLD process. And so the work that's been done and the work that we're going to do in the next 30 days, if the council extends our work, can be very useful in that new TLD process and the challenge processes. Quite a lot of suggestions were made from different sources, from GAC reps, from people in the council, from a lot of places on this category. And so I personally believe that the work that was done already by the subgroup and our committee as a whole, as well as the work that we're going to do in the next 30 days, can be very helpful in that new TLD process, even though it's not going to end up in a reserve name category. So I'm not going to go through the items there, but if somebody wants to comment or ask a question on any of them, please do so right now.
I do question, Chuck, but I'll go at the end of the list. It's Liz.
Okay. Aubrey and anybody besides Liz?
And it's Marilyn. I had a question.
Okay. Let's go. You want to ask the question before Aubrey?
I do.
I didn't put myself in the queue yet. Thanks.
You did not?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. I misunderstood. Marilyn, go ahead.
D references the word treaty, and since I tend to spend a lot of my time dealing with international treaties, I didn't understand what we were referencing.
Well, maybe there's not a treaty to reference.
Not that I'm aware of.
The point was is that we've got to be pretty specific in terms of what we're referring to. If it's just guidelines, if it's law, if it's local law.
We shouldn't. I just ask you, all of us, to be sensitive not to use the term treaty. Treaties are internationally negotiated instruments and tend to make a number of people move into a hyperthyroid condition when they consider the development of treaties.
Good. Okay, and that's good. The intent here was not to certainly go against that. But we need to be specific if we're going to, if our recommendations are going to rely on something.
Right. And yeah. So there, I assume we might be thinking about conversations that have taken place at WIPO, which is a treaty-making body.
Yeah, right.
But there actually is not a treaty.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we need to be very clear in the end and make sure that there's no implication that we think that there's a treaty.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that we want one.
Yeah, good point. Anything, anybody else want to comment on geographical and geopolitical?
Yes, please, me, Chuck, if you don't mind. It's Liz.
Okay, Liz.
Chuck, I think I might have misheard you when you said that you didn't want a particular category for geographical and geopolitical names in the report. No,
not in the report, as a reserve names category.
How do we treat then, and I'm referring now particularly to Ross Rader's discussions about if the status quo is not justified to be changed, then what do we do? Because, for example, in most of the existing registry contracts, we have a reserve name category that refers to that.
That's not true.
It's in six. Some, right?
It's in six.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, so then in terms of reporting, it's really important for me to get the six that have a restriction on geopolitical and geographical names and then separate out the others.
Mm-hmm.
That don't have that in the report.
Yeah, we identified those in our...
Yep, got that. And because this is a reporting mechanism that, for example, I'm thinking about how we would do this in terms of the new TLD's report. There is going to be a section on reserve names. There is going to be a section on the concerns about geographical and geopolitical identifiers,
mm-hmm.
particularly as they relate to the GAC principles. And I think it would be practical to recognize that there are some concerns about that, and that's also come up in the Protecting the Rights of Others group about NGOs and IGOs and how they might wish to protect their names. The other question that I had was, if we imagined that we had a recommendation that said status quo stays the same for the six or for the new or for whatever, it's not just about what we might do for the recommendation. That recommendation is going to flow through to three different things. One is to the recommendation itself in terms of the treatment of those particular names. The second part of it is to the contractual conditions for the base contract. And the third part of it is instructions to applicants in the process for the new TLDs about the reserve names they might be wise not to apply for. So even though it might only apply, those restrictions might only apply to an existing set of six registries, we need to think more broadly about the impact of this recommendation in terms of what it would look like for the process. And what we know is the discussion that's going on within both the GAC and their principles and the CCNSO with respect more broadly to IDN versions of geopolitical terms and geographical names.
Yes, on all of the above. I mean,
Sam, I was hoping you'd say, oh, no, you're really dumb. You're not going to do it that way.
No. That's all in sync with what, and again, keep in mind that whereas we're not expect, you know, at least so far, the recommendation with regard to this category has not been that the requirement that's in the six agreements be applied to new TLDs.
Yep.
But we are assuming that the recommendations that come out of this area will help be useful in the process of selecting new TLDs, including being a signal to applicants in terms of some problem areas. Okay?
Yep, thanks.
Welcome. Thanks for the input. All right, third level name, just some editing work that primarily needs to be done. GTLD names at the second or third level, that's one that needs some additional work. We probably don't need a lot of people working on that, but it'd be nice if we could firm that up a little bit. I actually put a plug in for getting some feedback in our GTLD registry call earlier today so that more GTLD registries will respond to the questions that the subgroup sent out on that and that Caroline was asking them to do. But that one is going to need some more work. You can see it there. If anybody have any questions or comments on that?
Chuck, it's Marilyn. My only comment is that when we write this, GTLD names probably has meaning to most of us. I think what we mean there are the strings that are allocated to the GTLD registries to manage. Is that right?
That is correct.
I have to tell you, as a layman, and had I not been on this group, I wouldn't have recognized GTLD names as the same thing that I just said.
Okay.
So
we'll have to make sure that we speak in better layman terms in our report.
It's just it's something maybe for the group when they work on it to just include a clear statement of what it is they're referencing.
Yes.
And this is Tamara. Since I joined late, and I'm sorry, I've been out for a week, and I might have, not gone through all the emails fully. Can you briefly summarize what happened with the other names at the second level? Because when I saw GTLD names at the second or third level, I thought that perhaps that was the same thing.
Before I do that, Tamara, any other questions or comments on GTLD names at the second level? Okay, then going to number 9 then, other names at the second level. The direction we received from the council in meetings in Lisbon, not just one meeting, but meetings, was that is really not, that's essentially out of scope for the reserve names working group, that particular issue, any categories, and I said this earlier in the call before you were able to join, that any category that's unique to a particular registry or something is not really what the council was looking at us to deal with on this. That doesn't mean it can't be dealt with through the GNSO in other forums, but they are not looking for us to do more work on that category.
Okay. So you basically brought forth a recommendation that it should be further discussed, and they went against you and said, no, it shouldn't?
Yeah, that's basically it, because we gave them the full report. I went through the full report, and, in fact, we spent quite a lot of time in meetings there going through the full report that we had approved as a working group. And this category, as well as a couple others, they felt were categories that they really weren't looking for this group to work on because of their uniqueness.
But Chuck, I think to be responsive to Tamara's question, and this may actually be responsive to Victoria's as well, that doesn't mean, and I may have said this before you got on the phone, Tamara, it's Marilyn.
Yeah.
That, there may be areas where a constituency or you as a subgroup member think that more work is needed. The question, you may not be, we can't necessarily expand the scope of work of this working group, but Chuck, weren't you suggesting that is something that needs to be brought back in through the constituency representation on the council?
Sure.
Yeah, and Tamara, in fact, it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I'm trying to get some language and this topic basically discussed in the context of the new TLD task force.
Okay.
If it's decided that it's out of scope of this working group, fine, but certainly
right.
Broader issues are not out of the scope of the task force.
Right. No, and that's what I assumed. I just was kind of, I just had, I apologize because I was out and I'm still catching up. I just hadn't read all the full materials and just wanted to get caught up.
Yeah, no problem. It's a good question.
No, this is Greg Chatton. Mike, I'm glad to hear that because my concern was that this would, could fall between the cracks if it's out of our scope but not made part of another group scope.
I certainly intend to not allow that to happen. I've already asked Liz specifically to put some language in there, and I think it should be non-objectionable that we should at least consider the issues. Certainly new TLD registry operators need to know the rules, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll loop up with you on that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The last category is controversial names, and again, we received clear direction that we're not going to have a controversial reserve names category. At the same time, the work that was done has the potential of being extremely useful in the new TLD selection process with regard to controversial names. And, of course, controversial names like geographical were key elements of the GAC principles that we received in Lisbon. So we are going to need a group here to refine that, to contribute to the new GTLD process. And so you can see the list underneath there, A through G. Are there any questions or comments on that?
It's Marilyn. I have a question. So what I'm envisioning is a narrative discussion without a specific recommendation, set of recommendations, but a narrative discussion that goes into more detail. Are we in, and Chuck, I didn't grasp this completely, is the process, since we're talking about the challenge process, are we not?
We are.
Are these not then two kinds of challenges that could be brought as opposed to two separate work initiatives?
Could very well be, Marilyn. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we come back to recruiting people for geopolitical and geographic and controversial names, maybe we ought to ask ourselves that question, given lack of resources and to avoid overlap. If this is part of a challenge process, and they're just subcategories of challenges,
mm-hmm.
does it make sense? And I don't know if it does or not. I know a fair amount about both of these issues and was on the controversial name subgroup, but it's just occurring to me, if they're part of a challenge process, I'm going to wonder if they belong in the same, if they either belong in the same subgroup or very close working relationship between them.
Let me make sure I'm clear on what you're suggesting. Are you suggesting that maybe one group work on both?
This is Audrey.
I raised that question. I'm not making a recommendation. I'm just raising the question about the similarity.
Oh, yeah, there is in that regard. And so you were thinking of that as a possibility.
I certainly was, but
okay, that's good. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing correctly. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. We can talk about that. Audrey?
Yeah, I'd actually like to say that I think it's a good idea. Because I think we were driving in that direction that we were, and it was a lot of the same people on the same group, on the two groups.
Yeah.
But we were sort of driving in the direction of there being such a process, of us recommending such a process.
Mm-hmm.
And we did find in both groups that we were tending to place these in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Without necessarily having gelled on the notion that the process would be a common one, and the process itself is going to be a fairly controversial entity that we've got to get right, and we don't want to have more than one of.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely, agree that these two should perhaps be looked at in common.
Good. Okay.
Yep. I would agree with that, too.
Yeah, and thanks, Victoria. And we're going to actually, that kind of leads right into the next topic on our agenda in terms of our work plan. Before I go there, though, as you can see in the statement of work at the very end there, the schedule, restart date being today, contingent upon council action tomorrow, and completion date Monday, the 10th of May. That's our short time frame.
Okay.
And yes, there was another comment?
Yeah. That's 30 calendar days, not 30 working days.
I never heard the term working days used. If we do 30 working days, Marilyn, we will miss the deadline for the new TLD.
Okay. Just thought I'd try to buy more time.
That's a good try. I mean, it would be nice if we could, but that would put us into June and
doesn't work. You're right.
Close. Yeah, it just doesn't work. I'm sorry about that, but that's the reality here. Keep in mind that one of the board members in the meetings in ICANN pointed out in some session, I forget which one, that I think it was a little bit erroneous, but that there was a promise for a new TLD process by January 2007. I don't think there was a promise. I think that's what the board asked for. But we're considerably behind that request already in the new TLD process. So there is considerable pressure to keep things moving in a prompt manner. And of course, ICANN is constantly being criticized by how long they take. So and ICANN is us. So, all right, moving over to the proposed division of work for the 30-day extension. What I did is I took that statement of work and suggested what you see in that document. You see that it includes a lot of the information that we just went over, so we don't need to go over much of that in detail. But if you look at the subgroups task in the table at the very beginning of that document, what I envisioned, and this is for us to decide, and some good suggestions were just made in two of these groups right now, in the previous 5 minutes, that we need a small subgroup for the ICANN, IANA reserve names. In reality, Tim did that one pretty much by himself with input from the rest of us. We're going to need a small subgroup to work on that one. We're going to need an expanded subgroup, or maybe even subgroups, depending on how we want to organize it, for single and two-character reserve names. Geographical and geopolitical, expanded group. GTLD names at the second or third level. I think that can be a small group. I don't think we need a lot of people on that one, but there is some work that needs to be done there. And then we have controversial names where we need an expanded group as well. So that would be five groups the way I laid it out here. We do not have to do it the way I laid it out here, and some people have already made some good suggestions in that regard. That's what our task is on this agenda item. Now, with regard to five of the categories, my suggestion is that myself and Liz, and if she wants to involve other policy staff, she can do so, but basically work on the editing of the five categories you see there, symbols, tag names, Nick who is, www, third level names, other names at the second level, and then what we do will be put back for the whole group to review and comment on and so forth, provide feedback into what we do for finalization there. And then general tasks that Liz and I would assume, and Liz has informed me that she's got quite a bit of hers already done. I wish I could say the same, but I can't. Basically defining what we're meaning by reserve names. For example, things that came out in the sessions in Lisbon that they're names that are pretty much reserved across the board for new TLDs and then in contractual conditions for new TLDs. We need to do the reorganization, and that's something that probably Liz mostly will do in that. I'll serve her order as I can. Add the GAC principles with references, and some of you need to do that in your individual subgroup reports depending on how we organize ourselves. Liz is going to deal with the SAC contact and get some things there, some feedback there. Again, the formal request idea I think is very helpful there with time frames, et cetera. The annex is something that can be done by us, by Liz and I, and any other help she can get in that, and then the format specifications. Now, general task for all of us, it's very important that everyone review the GAC principles and the IDN working group report, okay? That does not mean that we, keep in mind the GAC is an advisory body, okay? At the same time, they're an important advisory body, so I'm saying a couple different things there. We need to take their advice seriously. At the same time, it may not be possible to accommodate everything that, or maybe even wise to accommodate every little detail. Actually, their principles, for the most part, are probably consistent with. In fact, they are consistent with a lot that has happened in the new TLD process. But there's a couple areas that are much more controversial, and so those will be tougher to deal with. But all of us should be very familiar with those principles, and then they should be discussed within the whatever subgroups we break into for this exercise. And then, of course, the IDN working group report. And I won't take the time here. There's some areas in the IDN working group recommendations that there certainly wasn't agreement on in the council in reviewing that. On some of them, but a lot of them are very useful and helpful there. But we should certainly incorporate that work into this iteration of our work. Now, going on, tasks regarding recommendations, there's the I don't think that we need to go through all of that in any more detail. So let's just go over back to my agenda and get to the very important part of our work plan. So I'm on agenda item 8, okay, and finalized work plan A, and I would like to put forward at least two guidelines with regard to how we divide up our work and ultimately then come up with our final report. First of all, I believe that it's very important that we have broader representation in subgroups, with possible exception of ICANN, IANA reserve names and GTLD names, and I'm not trying to minimize those, but I think it's less of a risk there. I'm perfectly supportive of broad representation in those if we have enough people, but it may be a little less critical in those areas than it is in controversial geographical and single and two character letter number names. And by the way, in that regard, and as I think all of you know, I was very comfortable with the fact that people who volunteered for certain categories had particular self-interest with regard to that. I didn't really have any problem with that because they're motivated to get things started and to do some work. But if some of you monitored some other lists and so forth in the ICANN community, you probably saw that there was some criticism of one of the groups in particular because they perceived it to be just some self-interested parties trying to get their thing. That didn't bother me then. But we're now at a point where it's important that we broaden our own involvement in those groups so that we make sure we get diverse viewpoints, and therefore it'll be more acceptable to the whole community, and chances of it moving forward are greater. And I think that applies as well, this particular principle, to the leaders of particular groups. I don't think, and I'm open to discussion on this, but I don't think that it's wise for us to have leaders in these groups that have particular self-interest for no other reason, for perception, okay? So we can talk about that more if you want. So the second guideline from me is that I think it's preferable if we can swing this, and I'm not sure we can, but it would be desirable, I think, if no one is on more than one group so that people are not overextended. We have got a short window, and so that scheduling of subgroup meetings is not overly complicated. Now, let me pause and allow some discussion on those guidelines, which I admitted are from me.
Chuck, it's Marilyn, and I would like to speak on both of them.
Okay. But let me just go ahead and take a cue here. So I've got Marilyn.
Me too, please, Chuck. It's Liz.
Okay, Liz. Anyone else?
Page.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I'll take them in reverse order. On the issue of people not being on more than one subgroup, I'm going to propose that you modify that and make that not more than two subgroups, particularly because given the need for resources, quick turnaround, and time frames, I think two is probably more realistic. On the first point...
Well, hold up. Let me stop you, because I'd like to deal with your suggestion right there, right now, if that's okay.
Sure.
If the group agrees with that, I'm perfectly willing to support that. I would encourage people to try to avoid that unless you've got plenty of time on your schedule and are willing to be as flexible as possible. Otherwise, it makes it very hard for the subgroups to get their work done. Keep in mind, we had a couple groups last time that were really late in getting their things in, and that really complicated things at the end. So we want to make sure that we can succeed in a very timely manner. But if the people on this call think that that's a good way to go, I will support that.
I guess, Chuck, I mean, I
I sort of support your
sorry about that.
I guess, Chuck, I sort of supported your one task force, because again, I think we're eliminating some stuff, and I just look, I was only on really one the last time, and that occupied a big chunk of my time. So,
okay.
I thought the one with the 30 days would probably be more efficient. So
we don't have to be totally rigid on this. If there are a few people that think they can pull it off, and are committed to doing what's necessary. Again, I'm not opposed to that. I would discourage people from getting on more than one unless they're really sure that they can deliver.
Yeah, and this is Tamara. If I could just quickly comment, I certainly don't have time to be on more than one, but I would appreciate it if everybody who is on the other reserve names group last time, you know, if we could at least be looped in to the changes being made to that one. I see it's just Chuck, Liz, and Olaf listed there.
Okay, I'm not sure. We're not doing any. I don't have any problem. So what you're suggesting, Tamara, is that...
Like, that we just be involved in seeing sort of the final... This says edit, replace recommendations, just that we see kind of the final version.
Yeah, well, everybody in the working group will.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that... Remember, I stated that... The point
I may have missed that part.
Yeah, Liz and I, in the work we do, it will all be presented to the full working group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I'm going to put myself back in queue and explain why I think it probably needs to be two.
Okay.
The topics related to geographical and political names and controversial names are really... We're doing work that if we had a different vehicle, we would be doing through the new GTLD working group, of which I continue to be an observer, and people who are on this group that are counselors are on that group and trying to help complete its work. I will just declare that I have an interest in being on the single and two-character reserve names, but because of my previous involvement as a counselor and still as an observer, from the BC, would want to continue to feed into that work because it is about the broader launch of new GTLDs. So it creates a limitation that I think both myself and possibly those who are on the council itself might face if they were restricted to only one.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on this particular principle, guideline? Yes, Aubrey?
I actually think that you need to allow for more than one, especially if you're going to maintain the notion of who ends up chairing a group, not be someone who is passionate about it. So that you're going to have people in the group perhaps that you might convince to take a chairing spot on one thing because it's not the one that they're passionate about, but there is something else they are passionate about. So.
Good point, Aubrey. That's well taken. Anybody else want to comment on this issue? Then let me see if I can make a command decision and see if anybody objects to it. That we won't be rigid about this, but just make sure if you're on more than one group that you're willing to make the commitment necessary and be as flexible as possible so that it's not impossible to get the work done on that. That would be my guideline in that regard. Is that an okay approach on this one? No, but anybody object to that approach? Then those of you that can't, you know you can't commit to that. You don't have to. Those that think they can, and that'll be okay. And I think the one part of this principle that I would want to maintain is we certainly wouldn't want to have two people leading two different groups. I mean, the same person leading two separate groups, so we want different leadership. So. So if that's okay, then Marilyn, let's come back to you, and you wanted to comment on the first guideline
with
regard to broader representation.
Sure, and I should disclose that I am probably one of the, I'll disclose that I'm a party who has an interest in the allocation of single letters at the second level because I advise Overstock, but I should disclose also that I've actually been in correspondence and communication with some of the parties who were concerned about the composition of the previous group my suggestion to several of them was, please do come and get involved. That was sort of an accident of fate. I support the idea that those of us who do have an interest, and there are several of us who were on that group, should not chair. So I think that is a good rule for every one of the groups, particularly because we've got, I think, the need to be very, very credible with the ICANN community.
Hey, thank you, Marilyn. Liz, you wanted to comment.
Yes, Chuck, I did, if you don't mind. With respect to controversial names, and it's not a comment actually about the composition of groups, it's actually about the purpose of the group. Would you mind if I did that now, or would you prefer I wait until
later? Go ahead.
The issue about controversial names, I think, was writ large for us when we were all at the Lisbon meeting, and I urge you all to read the GAC principles. I think that one of the things that has come out for me that this group needs to consider is the nature of objection. What do we do when anyone objects to what may be thought of as a controversial name? And it could well be things like an entirely generic term that someone disagrees with. One of the things that we haven't done successfully to date is to, in the evaluation process, determine a situation where we could deal with objection. Now, anyone who's got experience in dealing with objections and dealing with resolving disputes about controversial names, and controversy could be about anything, not just about all the things that my mother rathers we don't speak at dinner, but it's really important that we look at that that issue seriously, because what will be the output of it is two things. One is instructions to applicants about likely controversy, and the other is a disputed names list by default, which won't be a reserved names list in the way in which we speak about it now, but it will be something we'll have to deal with in future rounds. So it's not just this round that we're going to have to deal with it. It's going to be future rounds.
Let me stop you, because I want you to add something there.
I didn't
mention this, but this is actually an idea that came up in the discussions in Lisbon, that in the new TLD process, that as names are challenged successfully throughout the new TLD process, that it would probably be a good idea to create and make publicly available this disputed names list. It's not a reserved names list, but at least for new applicants then to see, hey, this name was tried, it was disputed successfully, and didn't happen. And if you want to comment more on that, Liz, but I'm glad you brought that up.
It's just something that, with that group particularly, given the work that we did on the dispute resolution process and given the work that we've done on the evaluation process, the breakout of the importance of dealing with controversial names, and I always deal with them with a small c, not a big c, because controversy could be about anything depending on what day of the week it is and whether the sky's blue today. Because it seems to me that in this community we don't seem to be able to agree on anything, let alone the colour of the sky. So I really urge that whoever deals with that particular body of work, and it's a very large body of work, if you look at the 8 or 9 elements that need to be handled there, the most particularly important element is the process flow of dealing with objections and providing examples of controversy. And whether we use the GAC principles for the pool of controversy that one could think about, or whether we just think more generally, that's actually quite an important piece of work to do.
Thank you. Mike Pelez, you wanted to comment.
I'm fine, Chuck.
You're okay. You got yours in earlier, maybe on that one issue. So
yeah.
Does anybody else want to comment on the guidelines?
Okay.
Now, before we go to agenda item 8B, I think we need to go back to the suggestions the suggestion with regard to combining the geographical and geopolitical names with the controversial names. So let's have a little bit of discussion on that and see if we can come to a rough consensus, at least in terms of whether that's a good thing to do or not. Is there anybody, let me start off by being fairly blunt and asking, is there anybody that thinks that's a bad idea?
This is Mike. I think it's a horrible idea.
And explain why, Mike.
The geographical names is something where there's a clear body of documentation, analysis of law, underlying issues. There's been recommendations that have been agreed to at the WIPO General Assembly by 181 member states. That, to me, is a very clear body of issues that can be dealt with in a nice compartmentalized manner. throwing that in with the ambiguous what constitutes as controversial names, to me, would not be productive towards reaching conclusion or meaningful output on either of the two topics.
Okay.
Go in the queue, please. This is
Aubrey. Jump in.
Okay. Actually, I tend to disagree with that pretty directly, and pretty much for the same reasons that you gave. I think that if you approach the two of them as the conflict process issue, and that the two of them represent two classes of names that will come through, and what you're trying to design is not a definitive list, is not a definitive, this is how we will handle this one, this is how we will handle that one, but more a process that can adapt, that can grow, that can basically deal with all of these types of conflicts, even ones we're not imagining at the moment, which is one of the things we always have to keep our eyes open for. So, yes, and it's good that in this case you can show that in the case of geographical names, you can point to this and this and certainly use that as a driving example. And then I think it actually helps in terms of dealing with the other forms of conflict, because it's sort of saying, in this one we've got a firm basis for making a decision. What is the firm basis in this other one? And so you basically define how a process would handle it, as opposed to each and every specific category, how it will be handled.
Jeff, it's Marilyn. Can I get in the queue on this?
You're in, Marilyn.
Yes. I want to support the overview that you just gave, Aubrey. Because I'm thinking here, you know, in this case, we're talking about deciding that we're going to point to a General Assembly decision. I'm very familiar with WIPO's General Assembly, and while WIPO has a number of member states, that doesn't mean that every General Assembly is attended by every member state. But let's say we decide we're going to point to what is in essence an administrative decision by a body of government sitting in an expert body such as WIPO. That's a legitimate reference point. But it doesn't actually make it law. It makes it the point of reference we're going to use when we address the controversy. So I still think it fits into geographic and geopolitical, belong in a what I call the challenge process. It might be called something else, but in that case, you would decide what body of law, what set of rules, what set of procedures you would turn to determine whether something, whether a challenge stands or doesn't stand.
Could I add to that?
Please do.
Please, Chuck, it's Liz.
Okay, got both of you. Victoria, I think it was that
yeah.
You first?
Okay. I think I would actually agree with Mike. I think that there are particularly quite specific issues arising with controversial that aren't applicable to geographic, obviously some of the freedom of expression issues. So my own view is that they shouldn't be dealt with together.
Okay. Liz?
Chuck, I just wanted to offer a solution to, rather than arguing about what should be in or out, could I suggest that the groups remain separate until the groups complete their analysis, and then if, on the basis of the analysis that's done, we can combine the treatment of geopolitical and geographical and controversial names into one bucket, then that's assistance that we can give to the implementation planners to actually deal with this through the application process. My sense is that it's a rather premature thing to do to lump them together until the further work is completed, but it may well be the result that they are lumped together at the end of the process.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on this?
This is Mike. I think what Liz offers is a sort of nice compromise, and in light of the fact that we're not limited to, if you will, one committee, perhaps I could just serve sort of as a participant in the controversial names to sort of sync up, as I previously chaired the geographical and geopolitical one. So perhaps the fact that we are now allowed to participate into, I could understand what's going on in the controversial names, and as Liz says, perhaps maybe find a way to find common points of commonality and link them up, Chuck.
Okay. Any other comments? Is anybody opposed to Liz's compromise approach? I was kind of, one thought I was having while you're thinking there is that there are quite a few tasks in each one, and you lump that. Some of them may overlap a little bit, but not too much, and so it's a long list of tasks for one group to do if they're not duplicative. So,
Chuck, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn.
I don't object to Liz's solution, but I am going to note that where there's commonality of the task, maybe the group could try to sync up a little bit earlier. Because
yeah, good suggestion.
It's going to be very difficult, if not highly problematic, if people piecemeal the gap with requests.
And this actually, as Mike kind of hinted at, and it goes back to your concern with regard to the number of groups you're involved in, too, in the principle that I had suggested, that it might be helpful if there are people on both groups so that there is some liaisoning that way. But in addition to that, the two groups syncing up sooner would be a very good idea, I think.
Marilyn, do you mind if I just catch one idea that you just had? You said something about lots of requests from the GAC. I think that, and I don't think I heard you correctly, because I think you might have walked away from the phone a bit, but the GAC correspondence, I think, ought to be done as one group of questions, and I'm happy to take each of those questions out. I drafted the correspondence for Bruce with respect to the conference call that's going to happen next week. Now, I suggest that the group waits until after that call takes place, which is on the 16th of April at 2 o'clock Brussels time, and I can't recite the times off the top of my head for everybody else.
Is this coming Monday?
Monday the 16th. Now, what I suggest we do is, of course, everyone's welcome to join that call. It's not a closed call. But I suggest that what we do is formally write to the GAC after that call with our list of questions from Chuck. I mean, I'm happy to drop the correspondence for Chuck. And then spread the answers over that group. Or the other alternative is to send some correspondence to the GAC chair prior to that call to say these are the questions that have come up and would they please consider them at that meeting.
I'm going to respond with two ideas for the group to think about. If there's an agenda for that, I know there's an agenda for that group, maybe you could share that agenda with this group. I think, Chuck, my experience would lead me to believe, and I do work with these people in a lot of different settings, not just that I can, I think we ought to get the questions on the table early, but realize you can't necessarily get all the questions on the table by next Monday, but given our turnaround request, we ought to at least give them a heads up that we're going to come back with a longer set of questions.
Good idea. A logistical issue. Liz, now, we've already agreed that it'd be good to kind of standardize our communications external and make them formal and so forth and very clear and precise and so forth. The working groups are going to come up with things that need further exploration, and my thinking is, and I want to get your concurrence on this, is that we should continue that approach via the working groups with you, your involvement and mine, so that we're consistent and we're not stepping on each other's toes throughout this process. Is that accurate?
Yeah, cool. And also, no problem, Chuck, and also what I had done whilst you were speaking then was I had pulled up the correspondence that I had drafted for Bruce and he has sent to Yannis Tarklins that has triggered the meeting for the 16th of April. if we wish, and I agree with Marilyn completely, if we could put together some correspondence by close of business on Friday or early Monday and send it to the chair, he can send it around to his group. Even if they don't deal with it at that time, it can at least be on the table.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can pull it off by...
No, I don't think so either, but I'm just saying I'm happy to do it if you would like it.
I appreciate that.
But Yannis is actually pretty responsive, and I think, and I'll send this to the group in a moment, there's not a formal agenda yet, but it's going to be dealing with issues around the guideline about 2.2, which is ICANN should avoid country, territory, or place names in country, territory, or regional language, or people descriptions, which is the geographical and place name stuff that we've looked at in our statement of work. And then the section 2.4 on confusion with country code top-level domains. And those are the two that are particularly relevant. So I think we could add some supplementary questions for the meeting on Monday, and I'm going to send everyone the details of that now.
Okay, and if you have suggestions, send it, you know, respond on the list so that we can see, and maybe we can add them that way. It's going to be difficult for us to formally come up with a working group approved list of questions, but it might not hurt if there are some in sync with what we believe our statement of work will be to squeeze some into that session if possible. What I'd like to do now, I'm going to go ahead and assume that controversial names and geographical are going to be two separate groups. But what I'm going to ask is that the chairs of those two groups do as much coordination as possible and sync up, well before the end of our 30 days, so that the commonalities can be dealt with together. So what I'd like to do right now is to get some volunteers for chairs of this group, and I won't do them in any particular order. So if anybody wants to volunteer, the only thing I would ask is if you have a very specific interest in a particular category, I would prefer you don't share the group. It doesn't mean you can't be part of the group and be very active in the group, but that would be the only qualification that I would ask. And of course, you have to be willing to commit the time, because we have a short window. These groups are actually going to have to get some things done between now and our next meeting. So make sure you can do that. Anybody want to step up to the plate?
Chuck, you're actually doing this backward. Do you want to go with membership for the groups and then go into the chairs?
Well, we can do that. I don't have any problem with doing that, Marilyn. The problem is we have so many people not on the call. It's going to be a very limited.
Fine.
But if you'd like to go that route, I don't have any problem in doing that. So why don't we just go through? And Glenn, it's hard for me to take some notes here and keep track as I go. So why don't you go through the people that are on the call, starting with Patrick, and see where they would like to volunteer, and I will make note of it here on my agenda.
Okay, pleasure. We starting with Patrick, you say?
Yes, please.
Yes, Patrick Jones.
Okay. I think I'd like to make myself available as a resource to any of the subgroups, but I'll stick most of my time, again, with the single and two-character name subgroup.
Thank you, Patrick. And so, and keep in mind, and by the way, I very much appreciate Patrick's willingness to support any of the groups, and I don't think I have to tell the people on this call how much help he was in our first round. So thank you very much, Patrick. Okay, who's next?
Then shall I go Neil Blair?
Hey, Neil.
Yes, I'd like to continue to work with the single and two-character.
Okay, thank you.
Group.
All right.
Marilyn Cade.
I'd like to work on the single and two-character and on the controversial.
Right. Mike Rodenbach.
Hello. I'd like to continue on the single and two-characters as well.
Okay, Mike. Thanks.
Mike. Victoria.
Hi. I'd like to be on the controversial again. I'm with some reluctance. I think there may be issues in relation to the single and two-character group as well.
So you would like to be on that one as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you,
as
Victoria.
A two group. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tamara Resnick?
Hi, I'd like to be on the controversial name.
Thank you, Tamara.
Greg Shatton.
This is Greg. I would like to be on the 1 and 2 character, and I'm willing to chair.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Edmund Chan.
Edmund, are you still with us in the middle of the night?
I am.
Good, thank you.
Yes.
I actually don't have much of preferences or any.
Well, we haven't got anybody in geographical yet. We haven't got anybody in GTLD names or ICANA and IANA reserve names.
Well, I guess I'm happy to help up where there needs to be help. So at the end, you know. Just
okay, so we'll come back to you. Who's next?
Mark Panage.
I guess, as I stated previously, I guess I could continue to chair the geographical. Geopolitical group, and will contribute in the controversial group as well.
Okay, so I'll add you on that one.
Okay. And then we've got Avery.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to stay with the controversial and also with the 1 and 2 character.
And the 1 and 2 character, okay.
And Tim Ruiz has sent his apologies. He can't be on the call, but he says he will be willing to do partake in a work group.
Okay, he didn't mention which one?
I'm willing to join and assist any of the work groups, but would not be able to be chair.
Okay, so he can't chair anymore. Let's hope maybe he continues to chair the controversial. I guess that's not going to take place. So okay, all right. Now, does that cover everybody on the call? Looks like it.
That covers everybody on the call, yes.
Okay, good.
Have I left anyone off?
All right, that's helpful. Thank you very much for that, Glenn. What I will do, of course, is to send out a notice to the list and asking people to join one of these groups. Now, we have two volunteers for chairs. Mike Pelage on the geographical and Greg Shatton on the single and two character reserve names. Now we don't have any volunteers for two of the groups. We'll put those aside for the moment. But controversial is that we've got four people there: Marilyn, Victoria, Tamara, Mike Pelage, and Avery. Mike wouldn't be able to chair that one because he's chairing the geographical. Any of the other four of you that would be willing to chair the controversial names group?
How about if I nominate Aubrey?
Would you be willing to do that, Aubrey?
If people are willing to accept me doing it, sure.
Hey, any objections to that? You got it, Aubrey. Thank you very much.
Lucky me.
And then Aubrey and Mike. Aubrey and Mike.
Sucked in every. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So we have chairs in for three of the groups. We don't even have any members on the others, but I'll send out a message in that regard. Again, two of those, in fact, the two that we don't have members for, I think, are much smaller efforts, but we do need two or three people working on those. So I'll try and enlist some other people to jump in on that. Let's see. Okay. Now, our action items for the next meeting, which is scheduled right now for the next Wednesday, the 18th, and I have an action item to and I better write it down to ask about time for the meeting, maybe moving it an hour later.
That note's gone, Chuck.
Oh, it's gone. Never mind. Okay, so that's already happened, so hopefully we'll hear back, and then we'll let everybody know on that. But it will be on the 18th. And I didn't comment on this, and I'll be very brief on this, but we actually looked very closely at the days. Fridays, of course, don't work because of time zone issues and weekend for some people in that case. Thursdays, there's some council meetings and new TLD meetings that interfere. Certainly in the month of April, and the Who Is Working Group is going to have some conflicts, and the
pro working group meets on Tuesdays in April, I think on Wednesdays in May. So we were juggling all of those as well as time zones and coming up with that thing. Now, remember everybody needs to review the GAC principles for new TLDs and the IDN working group report. If you've already done that, you may want to take another look at that. Subgroups, and we have three chairs on the call right now. You need to get your group together however you want to do that between now and then. In terms of logistics for a teleconference call, should they coordinate with you, Glenn?
Yes, certainly, please.
Okay. And make sure that everyone in your group, including those that weren't on the call today that may be added, understand the tasks. And by next Wednesday's meeting, make sure that you're organized. And if you can get started on some things, especially in terms of consult any additional questions that need to be asked of experts and so forth, that get moving, because our 30 days is going to be gone before we know it. So then next week we'll have a brief report from each of the chairs in terms of the progress made in the first week of our 4 weeks plus of work.
And Chuck, it's Marilyn. Can I ask you, whenever Glenn or Liz sends the minutes out, it's sounding to me like the groups that have five members are going to need to have a meeting, even though they may not have heard back from other parties.
I'm sure that's correct, yes.
Okay. So the notice that goes out from whoever does the minutes is going to encourage people to sign up. How do they sign up? Do they let Glenn know so that she can get them added to...
I'm going to ask that it be done on the list, and that way all of us can see it. The chairs can see it, I can see it, Liz can see it, Glenn can see it.
And then I'll coordinate that.
Okay. So I was just wondering how that way we can move ahead with the idea that people can join in flight, so to speak.
Right. And I will, as soon as we're done here, my plan is to get a message out to the group, a high-priority message that asking people to volunteer for groups and looking for two chairs as well.
And you, Chuck, you'll send around who's on which committee?
Yeah, I will. Good suggestion, Greg. Edmund, do you have a preference now that you see what everybody else has chosen? ICANN, reserve names, single and two character, geographical and geopolitical, GTLD names at the second level, or controversial names?
Right, I guess you mentioned that there were two that nobody... There hasn't been anybody yet, so I'm guessing there would be more, but I'm happy to be on those.
Okay, so let me put Edmund on both of those. Do you want to chair either of those? I think you have the commitment.
I worry my time.
Okay, let's just put you on there for right now, and we'll see how that goes then.
Cool.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. Now, very quickly, and I know we're out of time, Chuck and Liz have some tasks. We'll work on the time for the meeting. General tasks from the statement of work we'll be working on. Liz has a lot of those done already. I have some that I need to do. And we also have some tasks regarding the categories of symbols, tag names, NICUIS, third level names, and other names at the second level that hopefully we'll have done by our next meeting for review by the full group. Not that we have to finalize it in our next meeting, but at least have those on the table so that we'll have a little bit of time to review those as the entire group. Anything else on today's call? All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. See you. Bye.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.